And good morning and welcome into Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. It is Tanner Struckman with you here, operations manager here at Husker Radio. We have Corey Anderson, our news director. Good morning, sir.
Yes, how are you? Good morning, Tanner.
Might be a little different music there to start the show, but we thought that was kind of a fitting way.
Very appropriate.
To kick off our show here today, because we have a special show here today. A tribute to our good friend Rick Windham, who passed away last week. And his funeral, by the way, tomorrow. And so we thought appropriate. He was always in on Fridays. Of course, not only for Mugs in the Morning, but for the Outdoor Connection, his own show that he had hosted for 20-some years. And so we thought, well, let's block out the hour and let's have a special tribute to Rick in his honor. So we've got some special guests here today. I know that we've got a couple recorded ones of folks that couldn't be here, including Andy Miller from the Prairie Arts Center, Greg Wagner with the Nebraska Game and Parks. He's a fun guy, and he knew Rick for a long, long time. He was a frequent guest on the Outdoor Connection, as was Julie Geiser with Nebraska Game and Parks. She'll be in with us. George Lobby with the Norputt Bulletin. He wrote for the Bulletin and the Norputt Telegraph as a columnist for a long time, and so he's going to join us and share some memories. Jerome Kramer with the Sheriff's Department is going to sit down with us as well, give us kind of the other side of Rick that we didn't always see, which was the deputy side. Sometimes we did, because he'd come in uniform, actually.
He did. He was in uniform a couple of times,
And I believe maybe Senator Jacobson will join us, too. And we're going to open up the phone lines maybe halfway through. Once we get through our guests, if there's any listeners out there that want to share any memories or just, maybe you were a listener for years and years. If you listened to Mugs in the Morning for the last 20-some years, you knew Rick Windham's voice. And at times he would, over the years, he would carry the show when we had some maybe new people in, or when I was in and didn't know what the heck I was talking about with the state senators that we've had on. And so he was a staple here on KODY, and we certainly will miss him. But we'll get into a lot of our guests here in just a moment. Let's quickly give you a time and temp here. It's going to be 99. It will be sunny and warm today. 20-mile-an-hour winds. Heat advisory is in effect this afternoon. Low of 70 tonight. 96 tomorrow. 94 Sunday. 95, 93 through the weekend and into next week. Next week cools off just a tad, but it is going to be hot the next couple days. It's 8:08 here. Again, it's our tribute to Rick Windham here on KODY. And, I did mention that when I was on last week that his obituary hadn't been fully out. It did come out this week, and it shared some things that I knew about him and some things that I didn't know about him. And you probably the same, Rick, that he, or Corey, that he grew up in Houston. Rick did, of course. I think he had mentioned that several times. And he talked about his love for football. That was always a common theme. I don't know if you got into that with him at all.
No, but because, I got here in March, and so we weren't. But as soon as he would have mentioned that, I would have struck a conversation, and we probably would have gotten some arguments about favorite college football teams, maybe.
Well, and he was a kicker, and I know he told the story many times with me that he kicked barefoot. That was kind of his thing. And I didn't know this, though. A parent in the booster club had said he had a golden toe, so she needed a gold sock for him to match his nickname, which I thought was kind of cool. He actually ended up getting a full ride then to play football at Peru State College here in Nebraska, which is the connection to the state that he eventually became home for a long, long time. And he met his wife, Vicky, while attending college in Peru. They married in 1978. He then began his career at Nebraska Public Power at the Cooper Nuclear Station in Brownville, Nebraska. He was a health physics technician, then an emergency planning coordinator, and finally joined the training department in 1987. Then they moved to Auburn, and of course he had his two sons, Ian and Isaac, who I know he talked about frequently on the show. Mm-hmm. He began working in the training department at the Gerald Gentleman Station, then moved to North Platte office to work for the power station, and they had their son Isaiah, and that completed their family. And of course, served for NPPD for 46 years. How many people do you know that can say they worked for one place for 46 years?
Not many.
That's a lot of dedication. I mean, that loyalty is hard to find. He was a reserve deputy for the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office for 23 years, for half of that time. That's pretty incredible. And, of course, as we'll learn, and an avid outdoorsman, probably the most outdoorsman I will ever meet in my lifetime. And I didn't take advantage of that enough. I would ask him frequently on fishing tips. I didn't have enough time to be an avid outdoorsman. Not that I am one, but I do enjoy fishing. And he actually gave me a special moment when he wrote an article about my daughter a couple years ago and put it in the paper.
No kidding.
Yeah, we were.
You'll have to send that to me.
Have to find it now. I'm sure I can find it again. But he. It might have been last year, I think, actually. I don't know. I started a thing with my kids where every Sunday morning we'd get up and go fishing. We'd kayak and we'd fish on the Iron Horse Lake right here by the interstate. And he really enjoyed that. And he was always a big promoter of getting young kids fishing and pushing the game in parks' kid fishing days. And so he said, oh, I'd like to do an article. So we came in on a Sunday and he interviewed her. And, I mean, she thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And so I'll cherish that for a long, long time. Obviously an avid outdoorsman in all aspects. And he shared that passion on Outdoor Connection with all his guests from all over the place. I mean, you name it, he would have them from all over the country. Some of my favorite memories are his Christmas specials, which you never got a part of,
but no,
he would do that in maybe late November, early December. He would have a Christmas show where basically he would have his favorites, products that he would have used throughout the year, mm-hmm. that companies would have sent him or he bought, and then he would share what his favorites were. And it was always pretty fun to just see some of the new technology and new things. And he really enjoyed. He looked forward to that show every year, and we did as well. So, and of course, his dedication to Mugs in the Morning. You know, I don't know exactly the time or the day he started. I know that we reached out to our former manager, Rob Mandeville, who's moved away. And he had thought early. His website said 2001 was when Rick Windham Outdoors had been founded. Mm-hmm. And I think the general consensus was early 2000s he was here on KODY with not only the Outdoor Connection, but also Mugs in the Morning. Mm-hmm. And just because of his schedule, he became a staple on Mondays and Fridays. And it was always kind of, we've had several news directors and morning show hosts over the years. So he was a staple. He was kind of a reliable for when you bring in a young guy who doesn't know a lot, like myself, for instance, when I would mm-hmm. fill in and I'm interviewing Senator Jacobson or Senator Groney or previous ones. I don't know what I'm talking about. He was always kind of a backdrop, a support to take over the conversation. He would understand things better than me. So he will certainly be missed in that aspect. And we've had people ask, what about the Outdoor Connection? And at this point, we're not going to have it, obviously. We wouldn't want to host the show unless we had somebody that was capable of hosting it to the caliber that Rick was. I don't know if there is a person that exists. If they come along and we feel like they're appropriate, maybe we'll start it back up again. But I wouldn't want to do that show any injustice by having somebody not capable of doing the caliber that he did, and which was at an incredible level.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Yes.
And you'll learn from the conversations we have with people, especially the Game and Parks, that they hold him in high regard when it comes to being an avid outdoorsman and knowing things. As much as anybody on this planet, I think they held him in that regard. So yes. We'll bring in our first guest in a moment. If you want to grab them, we're going to have some guests in. And again, later for those listening, we will have open phones. If you want to call in, we'll announce when that is, but we'll get you the phone number and you're welcome to call in a little bit later on. I did want to mention before we get to our guest that his celebration of life will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church here in North Platte, with Pastor Michael Evans officiating, Odeen Colonial Chapels assisting the family with arrangements. There is a memorial book online that can be signed at odeenchapel.com. His visitation is today from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Family will be present from 3 to 5. They are saying in lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested. In true Rick Windham fashion, to the Boy Scouts, Nebraska Game and Parks, Hunter Education, or Becoming Outdoor Women. So that's a right in line with our good friend Rick, which I don't know if you knew this, Corey, I don't know that I knew his real name was Paul. I think I knew that because I think his email still says Paul, but I obviously always called him Rick. But his name was Paul Rickard Windham.
I didn't know that until I saw it. Yeah, on the obituary. Yeah.
I think, and now that I look back at my emails and my head, I think I didn't and did know that. But let's welcome in our first guest, Sheriff Jerome Kramer. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
We obviously wanted to kind of showcase a part of Rick's life from as many people as we could, because multifaceted. I mean, the guy was involved in a lot of stuff. I don't know that he sat much and relaxed and didn't have something to do.
I don't think he slept much. He couldn't.
I don't think he could. He was a deputy for 23 years. Now, how long have you been with the department?
I've been with the department since 1981, so...
So you were there from the get-go with him?
Yeah. He started under Jim Carman, Sheriff Carman, and then when I got elected, of course, he stayed on and worked for me. So
23 years ago, how many deputies do you have? I mean, maybe this is normal, but do you have a lot that lasts 23 years as a deputy?
Oh, we have a number that do. Detention officers, not so much, but deputies hang around for quite a while. And Rick was a reserve for us, and... basically a volunteer deputy, which made it even more impressive that he would do that amount of work for a dollar a year.
That's the rate.
So he was very valuable in working parades, the traffic control there, and he was really involved in our civil process and our court security. And it's kind of one of those deals where we need him, we call him in, and I don't know that he ever said no.
Yeah, I mean, that's a role that most aren't going to take the time to fill, frankly, a volunteer role.
Yeah, he did a good job for us. Him and Kevin Kennedy, when he was alive, worked really close together and helped us out a lot. Between the two of them, we didn't have very many empty days where we were looking for manpower.
Talking here, it's a Rick Windham tribute, and Jerome Kramer here with us is Rick, again, a deputy with the Sheriff Department for 23 years. We'd see him he'd be in his uniform sometimes, so we get to see that. Well, always nice to have that every now and then in the office, just to, you know, intimidate other guests and make sure everybody stays in line. But no, I mean, that dedication in a volunteer role is incredible. I mean, you're not creating probably too many more of those either. I mean, those are if you can find those, you want to keep them. But just the fact that he did it for 23 years shows his dedication. He took that awfully seriously, though, too.
Right. He enjoyed being a part of our training as well. He did some fire suppression training, he was willing to do our CPR, but it took a different route. But yeah, he was always looking for more.
And probably utilized his knowledge of guns and firearms. Obviously, you did there with training, but I mean, the guy would know anything about every gun on earth.
I was always impressed with his knowledge of guns. You could mention any gun, and he would know the history of it and when it was started manufacturing. And very seldom did he come in my office that there wasn't a conversation about guns and Larry Golden.
Yeah, obviously, yes. And I know he spoke at Larry's funeral just a couple weeks ago. And so I'm sure those two are having a fun conversation here today. Well, we wanted to get everybody in, so we'll let you get on your way, but we appreciate you coming in. Anything else you wanted to add for Rick?
Well, a short story. I have a reputation of shutting down a lake for fishing. I can't catch fish, and nobody around me catches fish. And we were talking about that one day in the office, and Rick said, "That's baloney. Everybody can catch fish. I'm going to take you to my honey hole out south of town, and we're going to catch fish, and I'm going to write a story." So he gathered up four or five of his friends and him and I, and we went out to his honey hole, and we fished for 3 hours, and one of the guys caught a fish about 3 inches long. And he said, "You're never fishing with me again."
You found that's a great story. Yes. Well, there you go. You even stumped the great one too, I guess. Well, that's great. And see, everybody's going to have about 50 of those stories, and they probably revolve around fishing or guns or something with the outdoors. But we appreciate you sharing that, and we appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. That's Sheriff Jerome Kramer. We're going to take our first time out here on our Rick Windham Outdoor Salute, or Rick Windham Salute here on KODY. When we return, we'll have Andy Miller join us from the Prairie Arts Center, who was a close friend of his, of course, and he would always bring Andy in often to talk about the Prairie Arts Center and things they had. So we'll air that and come back in with more live guests here on our Rick Windham Salute on Husker Radio's KODY.
special day when we commemorate the memory of Rick Windham, and I have one of Rick's dearest friends, and he had many, but among those that hit the higher end of the scale that he would consider a really good friend was Andy Miller, who, Andy, you came in, and I got to meet you about the same time I met Rick coming in to do your Prairie Arts Center thing, as you do on Cody,
yeah.
Once a month on a Friday leading into Rick's program.
Indeed,
a jolt to all of us with the sudden passing of Rick, but so many good memories. I think many people listening today know that you wrote a column and a really wonderful column, and I encourage everyone, if they haven't read it in the Telegraph you submitted, they published, and just a great job. And I just want you to tell some stories and some memories and commemorate Rick in your special way.
You know, over the course of, say, 15 or so years, you really do get to know somebody, their faults, their foibles, and their strengths. And by golly, Rick was one of those people that after 15 years, you still couldn't wait to get together with the guy. We spent a lot of time going to coffee with each other. We would get together after the radio show and hash a few things out and talk about some of the things that each of us both liked and some of us liked together. Started out with me going on the radio program with George Kelts, was the man behind the board. And I kind of developed this persona, jokingly, as Mystery Janitor X on the show. Because I actually knew things about the plumbing of the building that ordinarily one wouldn't associate with a computer engineer. And Rick got that. Rick was one of those few people that said, wow, you know about computers and the urinals. That's pretty amazing, Andy. That's pretty amazing stuff you got going on there. And so we kind of joked about it, how even though I had all this computer literacy and I wrote scripts and worked on the radar and instrumentation at the airport and all kinds of high-end fancy-type stuff, I also replaced the light bulbs because the forecasters were too afraid of getting up on the step stool, and made sure that the Sloan valve was working and replaced toilets and things like that. So you just never really knew the spectrum of my job, but Rick figured it out pretty quickly.
He was great, and he could relate to everyone, and I gave him a hard time at first because he was wearing his overalls, so I called him Mr. Green Jeans. But it didn't matter, even.
He was always very casual about his dress, with the exception of his sheriff's uniform. He was pretty particular about that. But, you know, when you went into the studio and you're walking in, you don't know what to expect, and there's Rick with the sheriff's uniform, the body armor and the badge, yep, and the gun. You go, is he after me this time? Does he know something I don't know?
You two really hit it off. I got to see you guys interact the last few months, and could really see that you just played off of each other. And needles and barbs were pretty frequent, weren't they?
Hopefully they were actually funny to somebody else besides the two of us.
They were. I enjoyed it. I will miss that. I will miss that humor going back and forth, because you kind of had a different kind of humor, each of you, distinct.
Correct.
But you played off of each other with that and made it work.
Mine was a little bit more absurd than Rick's.
Right.
So I would always try to find those odd, bizarre things that might throw him a little off kilter. And Rick just had this really solid sense of humor, and could find humor in just about anything. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed our conversations in or out of the studio, because it never really seemed to change.
For sure. Yeah, do you have a specific memory or anything that crops up, that has cropped up in your mind here in the last couple of weeks about Rick that that's going to stand out among your many interactions with him?
Well, mostly, I really enjoyed it when he came over to my studio, because it was a very relaxed environment, and I made sure I had a glass of sipping whiskey ready for Rick, and he would nurse that thing for about an hour, so it's not like he pounded him down or anything, but he would sip on that, and we would sit back and reminisce a lot of military stories. So Rick and I were both in the service. I was Navy, Rick was Marines, but I have a tradition of Navy and Marines in my family, so it's not like we didn't have a deck to stand on. We did. And we would share different stories, and Rick always enjoyed my Navy stories because some of them were pretty off-kilter.
For sure. We're gonna miss the guy. And Andy, just thank you so much for sharing your memories, a lot of great memories, and we will certainly miss him. And of course, every time you walk in the studio, and me as well, but when you come in, you know, it was tough that first morning because you found out the morning after he actually passed, and you decided to honor him. The best way would be to sit in his chair, and that's what you did. And
yeah, I probably won't do it again, yep. But I did it that morning. I felt like I had been hit by a truck.
Yeah.
When I was informed, I just couldn't believe it because this is one of my best buddies were in North Platte, or probably my best buddy, one of my best buddies in North Platte, who's not going to be there anymore. And it's still not quite sunk in.
Well, you know what we need to do is we need to get a picture of you and him. I'm sure somebody took a picture along the way, but we need to get a picture and blow it up a little bit and frame it and hang it in the studio. That'd be a good idea.
I don't know if we did, because most people, when they looked at Rick and I, they kind of turned away. They kind of went, oh, my God, look at that. Somebody put a blanket up over those two.
Pretty frightening. Well, thanks again, Andy, for calling in. I know you're on vacation, but thanks for calling in, taking time to share your memories of a great guy, Rick Windham. And
A great guy. He'll be dearly missed by a lot of people.
Welcome back on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM here on this Friday, 15th of August. It is our salute to Rick Windham here, Tanner Struckman, Corey Anderson, and we are pleased to have Julie Geiser in with the Nebraska game in Parks, right?
Is that correct,
okay.
Yep.
And your title?
I'm the Public Information Officer.
Public Information Officer. You were a very frequent guest on Outdoor Connection many, many times over the years, I know, and obviously a close friend of Rick's, and I want to say this right. Mog?
Mog.
That's what I thought. I'd heard it enough that I felt comfortable saying it.
Yep.
That's what I thought. And he's told me over the years that story or nickname, but I don't know if
I
recall.
I'm not exactly sure where it came from.
Gosh,
but
well, and maybe he...
It just one day he just said, I'm going to start calling you Mog. Madam Outdoor Goddess.
There you
and
go.
That's how I was always introduced.
That's right. So. That's good stuff. And he had a nickname for a lot of people, finding.
Yeah, he did.
And they had nicknames for him,
yep.
I'm finding.
Yep. I called him Guru.
Yeah.
So, because if, you know, it was like, if I didn't know the answer to something or needed information on something, it was a text that usually started out something like, hey, Guru,
yeah.
What do you know about,
yeah.
Or what can you tell me about? And then it was either another text or phone call, you know, after that.
He was an outdoors Google before Google was invented.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he had an answer to all of those questions.
Just a wealth of knowledge.
How far back did you guys go?
Oh, gosh. I tried thinking about that, and I can't remember the first time we met, but I'm sure it was probably a Game in Parks.
Sure, event.
Event, and it had to have been 20, 25 years ago. So
you had a great write-up in the Telegraph this week on
him.
Thank you. And you mentioned a lot of the events he would come in and fill in, be a fill-in for you, and then obviously
yep.
he was the guy for a lot
he
of things.
He was my go-to. I roped him into a lot of stuff.
Well, he was, I mean, if he was in here, he was going somewhere at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
I mean, it was yep. either deputy role, back to work, or he was traveling to York for a seminar.
Right.
Somewhere in the state. He was on the interstate going for something involving outdoor activity.
Yep. Probably the best time we ever had was our Becoming an Outdoors Woman program,
yeah.
which is through Game and Parks. And we used to host that at Halsey every year. So I said, hey, Guru, why don't you come up and teach some classes? And, you know, then it was just, I mean, he taught there for at least 15 years. And he always joked, so, Mog, what are you going to have me teaching this year for BOW? And I'd be like, well, I think we'll start off with this class. And inevitably, every year, you know, somebody got sick or somebody canceled. And it was, hey, guru, can you fill in for this class, like, in the morning? Right. And here we are, you know, up in the middle of the Halsey National Forest. And I'm asking him to fill in. But, you know, his vehicle always had a plethora of equipment, and you know, his skill set was just so good that he could teach anything.
He could have taught any class you wanted to on the spot.
Yep.
Because he could have filled it, and he had a way about him. He had a great way of speaking, and yeah, I would agree with that. I think the topic didn't matter what it was. And
right.
You mentioned the vehicle. I have to mention this too, because if you don't know, Rick, as an outdoor, if you met him, and I mentioned this off air, as a kid growing up an hour away, we got the Telegraph, and I see his picture in the paper all the time. So I felt like I knew him before I met him. And then I met him, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is the guy that was in the paper. This is the guy. I mean, I'd see that photo all the time as a kid. And you know, so then I had this image of Rick in my mind, and I'm thinking, you know, big pickup, he's going to pull up, and you know, I never really paid attention, and you're laughing because you know where I'm going with this.
Right.
I never paid attention to what, you know, and finally I realized Rick's pulling up in a white Prius
right,
for the last 10 years.
The Prius.
Yeah, he's had a Prius, and I remember asking him many times, what is the story on the Prius? I have to know why, because it just didn't fit his
right.
character that,
exactly.
that well. But
big burly guy right. in this little Prius.
Yes, and I always saw, every time I'd see him pull up, I always got a little chuckle. Just seeing him pull up in that white Prius, and yep. I will miss that, certainly. But
right.
Any other memories you wanted to share?
Oh, gosh. You know, and he was a great Dutch oven cook.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody knows the saying that he used to always say, he always started off with, never trust a skinny chef.
Yes.
And then he
somebody
had,
somebody else referenced that's on our interview.
He had all these rules, and, you know, I've heard him 1,000 times and can't remember a one of
right.
them.
Right, I know. You almost wish you could write them down. Like,
I know.
Like we had a Rick Farmer's Almanac, because that was something, that's another staple of Rick, is the Farmer's Almanac.
Right.
He would reference that all the time. But
yep.
Yes, I agree. I thought of that after I heard of his passing, and I wish I would have started writing down some things that he told me, but I thought you memorialized one really good at the end of your article with the skunk.
Yes.
He called him a what?
It was a fart squirrel.
A fart squirrel.
Yep. The morning, the day that he passed away, I opened my email up and says, hey, Mog, we should teach this one at BOW. And there's a picture of a skunk on a caution sign that says, do not pet farting squirrels. And that's just, you know, that's just classic
Rick
humor.
Absolutely. So. Well, anything else you wanted to share this morning?
No, just, you know, everybody will miss the legend.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly a hole to fill, I'm sure, for the game in parks and for BOW, certainly. But obviously cherish the time you did have with him, no doubt about it. Well, thank you for coming in, Julie.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Julie Geiser again with the Nebraska Game and Parks. We're going to take a news break. We'll come back. We'll have George Lobby with the Bulletin joining us here on Husker Radio's KODY. Welcome back on Husker Radio's KODY, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM. We've got the Outdoor Connection theme here today in honor of Rick Windham, our tribute to Rick here, 841. We've got George Lobby in from the North Platte Bulletin.
Good morning,
sir. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank
Glad
you for
to be
being
here.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we tried to, you know, hit
quite
up.
Quite a guy.
Yeah. I mean, we just... It's our. You can't cover all the bases. The guy was involved in so many things.
Yeah, he was so active. You know, that's the thing. One of the things that impresses me. He had a job. He had, and he did all this outdoor stuff. He wrote. He turned a column in for us for 23 years.
Wow.
And he never missed a deadline. It was always came in on Mondays. If he had to travel, sometimes he had to travel for a weekend or something. He sent it in early.
So it was a weekly column.
Super reliable.
For 23 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's. Would you have and this? Do you have files from all of them?
All of them, I think. Yeah, I know we do. We have electronic files. I think we got paper copies of just about all of them.
Wow! Wow! Yeah, that's it. You'll have.
So
to
yeah, we could put a book together. I guess if anybody's interested.
No kidding.
He wanted us to put a book together one time of his camp cooking recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And we started it, but it kind of got lost in the shuffle of everything else we had to do. We never finished it. But that was another thing. You know, he had a book, encyclopedic knowledge, like other people have said here, of all so many things. He could have left several books behind.
For sure, yeah. Right. I mean, I almost wish he could have gotten with a publisher or a writer for somebody. I mean, obviously he could write, but maybe he didn't have the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, somebody that could have put that all together because
We are working on, if anybody wants to look up some of his, and, you know, people, I'm going to hesitate here because every time I start to say something, I think it's something else I want to say about him. But somebody came up to me more than once and said, you know, Rick had that recipe. Do you still have a copy of that? And I forgot to clip it. You know, I said, yeah, we got it someplace. And we are going to have digitized copies, or that our process is in the works to make digitized searchable copies of all our archives.
Oh, really?
For 23 years. So,
wow, that'd
so,
be neat.
Well, it might take us a few months to get that done, but at some point you'll be able to search Rick Windham by keyword and look up probably Rick Windham recipes, because I think all of them had that kind of word in it or title on it. So
yeah, that'd be neat. And
yeah, that'd be cool.
That's neat for anything, but obviously a lot of content about Rick, because yeah.
But his activeness, I think, is the most impressive thing to me. Of course, he had a comprehensive mind too. So at one point, this station was in a little bit of transition with the Mugs in the Morning Show. So he sat in, and that was when I kind of came into picture. I sent him an email, and I said, if you need a guest or something on it, you know, give me a call. And he did, and so once a week we'd do something.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about all kinds of things. It wasn't outdoor stuff. We'd go through the news. I'd just go through a paper and say we did a news story on this and this, and a lot of times that would lead to a big discussion. And he's a real thoughtful guy. And trading perspectives on that stuff with him.
Well, you know, a lot of radio people, I think the old adage is that, you know, we know a little about a lot. Rick knew a lot about a lot. I mean, yeah. I whenever I first met him, I'd think, you know, he'd be interviewing maybe the state senator, and I'd be thinking, man, he's really good about just kind of pretending like he knows. And then I was realizing, hey, he knows this stuff, and I did not. I was pretending that I knew. You know, I do that a lot in my job because you kind of have to. You can't know everything. And
that's
obviously
right.
He had a lot more experience in life than I do at this time, but he also he was inquisitive. I mean, he would ask questions, and he would listen. He was a good interviewer.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, yeah. He was quite a guy. We got in, one of the topics we got into was White Clay, the little town of White Clay. It's up by the Indian Reservation in northwest Nebraska, and you know that was basically a town of three or four liquor stores. And there was always for decades there was this effort or this thinking that place should be closed up because it was so accessible to the people on the reservation. And the counter argument was it's free enterprise and it's America. And, you know, you can't tell these businesses they got to close up.
Right.
So we had that back and forth two or three times. And it was really, it's a provocative subject. And it's one that, you know, it's kind of like the horns of the dilemma. You got to grab both sides and try to figure out. And finally, State Senator Tom Brewer.
Brewer, yeah.
Yeah, from up there.
Yep.
He made a big effort in the legislature, and the Liquor Commission finally closed the liquor stores up there. And I think there was some reconstruction of stuff in the town. And I thought it was a positive step, but it took a lot of guts to get that done, a lot of effort. And but that's an example of the conversation where Rick was conversing on all that stuff.
Yeah. Very well versed. Rick.
So it was kind of profound issues he could grapple with.
Yeah. I mean, and then he could step into his outdoor role and be the most expert of all experts.
Yeah, and he always had a joke. You know, he's never heavy about stuff. And it always had people laughing and smiling. And he used to call me the boss. I said, yeah, I don't think I'm the boss, Rick, you know. boss. It was his nickname for me, I guess.
Yeah, whenever I was ever on Mugs, it was always, oh, you're running your tracksuit today. You're wearing your tracksuit because you're running back and forth. And he always, and he truly, you know, a lot of people come up to me and say, oh, that's, you sounded great on that game last night. And I'm like, yeah, you probably really didn't listen to that. He would listen because he would always reference then something I said in the game. And and it felt really genuine when he said it. And that made me, always made me feel good because I took his opinion highly, certainly. So,
yeah.
George Lobby here with us on Rick Windham Tribute here. We're going to open up the phone lines here in just a few minutes. We do have Greg Wagner with the Game and Parks that's going to talk with us here in just a minute as well. A guy that worked with him with the Game and Parks for a long, long time. But anything else, George, you wanted to mention this morning?
You know, not too much. I just, you know, he's just going to be missed, obviously. It was quite a shock to everybody. And these tributes, I think, mean a lot to us and to his family and the survivors and stuff. And thanks so much for putting this on. I know he thought a lot of you, Tanner, and thought a lot of this station. And,
well, yeah.
You know, I do too, for that matter.
But yeah.
Thanks for all you do.
I think we had him for a good 24 years or so here, and we were pretty fortunate to have that. And obviously wish we could have had a lot more, but appreciate all the time we did. And thank you for everything you've done with the Bulletin and obviously having his articles on, and thanks for coming on today.
I'm always happy to be here. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
That's again George Lobby with the North Platte Bulletin. Let's now transition to a chat with, I just did with Greg Wagner yesterday. He's with the Nebraska Game and Parks. Husker Radio, it is Tanner Struckman, and we are pleased to hear on this salute to Rick Windham to have Greg Wagner, Communications and Marketing Specialist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. Thank you for being with us, Greg. We appreciate it.
You bet. This is an honor.
Yeah, you obviously, I know you were a guest on the Outdoor Connection with Rick many times, and I think a lot of people recognize your voice. But, I mean, we just wanted to give an opportunity for those that knew him well to kind of say thank you for everything he did and a tribute to him. And so what's your history with Rick? How long do you guys go back?
We go back decades. We're two old guys, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm pretty close to, was pretty close to his age, not quite there yet, but we go back quite a ways, and we shared many a campfire together, and a camp together, and microphones and everything else. And if you knew Rick, he was a treasure.
Without a doubt. That's the collective theme. And you mentioned he had a nickname for him, which is a theme as well. It seems like he had a nickname for a lot of people and they had nicknames for him.
Yep, I called him Scout. He was the Scout. And he and I always talked, and we always admired Kit Carson, who was probably the best Scout that this nation has ever had. And so I said, Rick, you're Scout. You're Scout. And he always said, well, that's a favorable comment for me. He goes, a lot of other people have different comments about me. I said, well, they do for me too, Ricky. I said, so you're Scout.
You know, do you have any idea how long you've been on his show? Were you one of the early guests? I mean, I think we had in records that it started back in 2001. Had you been on it since then, or do you recall?
I have been on it since its inception.
Okay.
In the early 2000s, for sure. We've talked about everything from muzzleloader deer hunting to fishing for freshwater drum to how to best smoke carp. And we had the funnest times. If you knew Rick, you knew he was just hilarious. He always had that gift of gab. He always had a story for a story. And he always had these great phrases, which I remember. He would say, Greg, just remember, never trust a skinny cook. And I'm not skinny, Waggy. I'm not skinny, Waggy. Yeah. Call me Waggy.
Yes, I've heard that one before. I've used that one.
He'd have that one. Then he always says, you know, when somebody gives you something, Waggy, don't ever say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Just take it. Just accept it and say thank you. But one of the latter things that he always tell me, he goes, Greggy, I got this words of wisdom for you here, Waggy. And that would be this. He said, just remember, a fish would not get into trouble if it had kept his mouth shut. Wags, keep your mouth shut.
That's a pretty good one there.
But as far as a knowledgeable outdoorsman, probably I would say Dick Turpin is in that class. Dick has passed us already, and now Ricky has. But those two would be the most knowledgeable outdoors people, the sages of the outdoors that I've ever met. And every time you talk to them, you learn something. You learned a little trick or a tip here and there, and they really knew intricately the outdoors and the equipment that went with it.
Absolutely. Greg Wagner with us here on our tribute to Rick. Well, we appreciate the time. We're trying to get as many people on as we can. Anything else you want to mention about Rick or in honor of Rick?
I would just say my condolences, sympathies, and prayers go out to everyone who knew him, obviously his family, and Nebraska lost a true treasure in Rick Windham, and his legacy will live on, trust me, with a lot of us.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Greg. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's again Greg Wagner, the communications and marketing specialist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. 8:52 here on our Mugs in the Morning and Outdoor Connection, I suppose, tribute to Rick Windham, Tanner Struckman, Corey Anderson. Appreciate all our guests for coming in here this morning. And I did want to offer an opportunity to open up the phone lines, 532-8221. If you want to call in and maybe make a comment, or maybe you got a good memory about Rick of his days listening here on KODY, or maybe reading his columns, or maybe you work with him at MPPD, you know, maybe you went to one of his outdoor shows, maybe you, or seminars or speaking engagements, or maybe you simply got the luxury to go fishing or hunting with him. I always wanted to go fishing, and we'd made comments about doing it all the time, because I thought, if I'm going to learn from anybody, I need to learn. I know how to throw a fishing pole into the water. I don't know what the best lure is. I don't know exactly how to put a worm on the best way. I don't know where to go. I don't know exactly what time to fish. So I'd ask him every time I'd come in, well, we got skunked last Sunday. What are we doing wrong? And he'd give me an update. But if you were fortunate enough to go fishing or hunting with him, you were one of the lucky ones. There's no doubt, because you were learning from an expert. So phone lines are open if you'd like to call in, 532-8221. We'll keep it open here for the final few minutes of our salute again to Rick Windham. Obviously, Corey, you didn't get enough time with him. You started in March, so you didn't have a lot of time. But
right.
I'm sure you were appreciative of him just as a transitionary phase for you to be able to, you know, settle into Mugs in the Morning, a new show with a new audience and new guests. You knew a lot of people, and you're well versed in this world. But I'm sure it was nice to have somebody to just fall on, especially with new equipment too.
It was a nice thought and comforting, as you said, that settle in stage early on the first few weeks, to have him there Monday and Friday. And then, you know, I didn't know how much, you know, that he was, well, so versed on other topics to be able to help and chime in.
Right.
But really, he helped me. When we had guests, we kind of went back and forth on the questions.
Let's go to the phones here this morning. Good morning. You're on Rick Windham's Salute here. Good morning.
Hello. I've been listening to Husker Radio for years, probably 20 years, goes clear back to George Kelts.
Sure.
Way back. And so I probably listened to Rick Windham all those times. And I just wondered if anybody ever had an incident where Rick got angry. Never seen him angry. He was always had a way of handling things in a very gentle way. And I seen him at NRA get-togethers, and stuff would come up that was kind of frustrating. He always just joked it out. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, not here. He was always pretty happy. Phone number again, 532-8221. And if we keep getting phone calls, we'll stay on for a little longer after 9 o'clock. Operations manager, man, we can make that move here. But so if you feel free to call in, don't let the end of the time deter you from that. But I certainly never did. I mean, I think he really enjoyed radio, and I think he really enjoyed coming in here and sharing all. And he certainly loved the outdoor connection. I mean, I made a joke to Julie off air that when I'd be in the studio next door and I share a window with him, or in my office, which is, you know, a little bit away, I would hear the chuckles in here. And it I mean, sometimes they'd sit in here after 9 o'clock and it'd be four guys in here just chuckling away about something, and they'd get that, he'd get that big laugh going, and it would echo through the halls of Husker Radio. So I certainly never did. I never got. I never saw him in a negative light. He always was pretty positive and happy. And I think he really enjoyed doing what he did here. And I think it was pretty clear he enjoyed doing all of his work, including at MPPD. I mean, I think he really enjoyed that line of work as well. And that shouldn't be understated for his time there of 46 years at the same place. Again, phone line is open, 532-8221, if you want to call in and share a memory of Rick Windham. Again, I did want to mention his funeral is again tomorrow at 10 o'clock. That will be held at First United Methodist Church here in North Platte. It will be, and they do have a visitation today from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with the family present from 3 to 5. In true Rick Windham fashion, in lieu of flowers, memorials are suggested to the Boy Scouts, Nebraska Game and Parks Hunter Education, or Becoming Outdoor Women, which is the program that Julie had referenced. They'd worked together for the last 15 years on many, many times. And I wanted to share something that I know my coworker Sherry had mentioned, that whenever Rick got done with a show, if you know our studios, our bathroom's not close. All the way in the back of the building. You've got to walk the entire hallway, go by everybody's office to get there. And he would always do that before he left. And Sherry always said he'd always make mention, say hi, and even to the point where he would, you know, come in and talk to her. And I know she had said that he had noticed some artwork on her walls, like some metal art. And it was beach themed. I don't know what they all are, and they're probably still hanging in there as we speak. But he had made a note that I mentioned that he was going to make her something with metal art, and he would update her, you know, every other week or so on how far he went. Well, it's sitting on my desk or my table right now. I'm working on it, and she had no clue what it even was. He wouldn't tell her, and so I know that that's probably sitting somewhere right now. And but he always made it a point to say hi to everybody in the office. I know our front office Sam had a great relationship with him. Everybody here, including our general manager Pam, and that goes back. I'll speak for all previous news directors and hosts of Mugs in the Morning. Again, he was a great one for me to rely on, because I knew as the operations manager, I was either going to fill in or I was training somebody new that maybe didn't know anything about radio or didn't know anything about legislature or anything about news. And I could rely on Rick. Mondays and Fridays were an easy day. I didn't have to worry about it. I knew Rick was going to be in there. He could handle it. So I will always appreciate him for that. 859, phone lines, we'll keep it open again for another minute as we conclude, 532-8221. But anything else, Corey, you wanted to mention? I know you didn't get as much time as most, but...
Yeah, I had 5 months with him and enjoyed every minute with him in the studio. But his laugh, I call it a hearty guffaw, right, straight from the gut.
Yeah,
that's what I will miss the most, along with his just general demeanor and the fact that he was just so pleasant to be around. He was never a guy that you just kind of, you know, wondered whether you could be around him that long. It was kind of like, you know, is that all? The hour went so quickly, right. You know, and then he was gone. He was kind of a guy that you wish would stick around and you could chew the fat with a little. You know?
Well, and sometimes in radio, you come in the mornings and you're tired and you know, you feel like, so, I don't know if you do, but I certainly do in my role, sure. That, you know, you feel, oh, I'm going to do this again, same thing every day. And, you know, just kind of going through the motions. So it was always nice to have somebody that would be his demeanor. It was never going through the motions. It was, what do we got today? What are we talking about? And if we didn't have a guest, it was almost like, all right, I can see his eyes light up. Like, we're going to have fun then, because we're just going to, you know, ad lib for an hour or half hour or whatever. And he really looked forward to that. Yeah. You know, and you know, as hosting a talk show is not easy. If you have no guests, it's really difficult to talk for an hour. We had 5-6 guests here today. That was pretty easy. But if you don't have any, you have to fill every second. There's no music to fill in. You only have some commercial breaks, and that's it. With Rick, it would, if you have somebody you can bounce something off with, especially somebody like him, you know, you've interviewed people that give you one-word answers. Rick would never give you a one-word answer.
He had a story for everything when we were in that situation a few times, too, and usually on Friday leading into his show, too.
Sure.
So I never worried about, you know, it wasn't this. I never had an anxious thought, you know, if we were in that situation, didn't have a guest for that first half hour leading into his show, because I always thought, well, we'll see where Rick takes us.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. That's a good way to where's Rick going to take us today? And not to a fault. But I will say, I've had to train many people who would run his show, and I'd say, he's got a break. Make sure you've
right.
got to tell Rick. You've got to give him a break cue.
Right.
Because
I got used to that.
He would talk through it, and pretty soon it's 8:55, and I was like, oh, well, we didn't get that break in, did we?
Yep. So,
Rick would always, he had no problem filling. I mean, in his mind, he was having a fun conversation with a friend when he was on his outdoor show. It wasn't radio. It was just a fun conversation. He didn't, I think he was just lost in that conversation. That was the attention he gave his guests. So, something to appreciate, certainly, if you were one of the guests, one of the listeners, or one of the people who got lucky enough to work with him. So, it's going to wrap it up here today on our salute to Rick Windham again. We certainly appreciate everybody coming in. Sheriff Kramer, George Lobby, Julie Geiser, Greg Wagner, Andy Miller. I know that State Senator Mike Jacobson gave a really nice comment about him at the end of his show. He had a really nice comment. You had mentioned he gave a little dedication. So
yeah, the Monday afterwards, I gave him the opportunity to speak about him, and maybe we can get that on Monday, or we'll give him a chance if he's in Monday.
Sure. Too. Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate all our guests. We appreciate the phone calls here today. Again, a reminder, his funeral is tomorrow at 10 a.m., and I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in on that. But that's going to wrap it up here today on our salute to Rick Windham here on Husker Radio's KODY. Have a great rest of your Friday. We're back Monday with Mugs in the Morning.